Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, chapter 52. And it's a little bit of a continuation of 51. And we talked about this theme, which is so important, of waking yourself up, arousing yourself, being self-motivated. Tell yourself in the morning, get up, go do it, go for it. You have to realize that you don't always feel like doing things, but you have to push yourself. You have to motivate yourself. And in prayer, the word that we use is uri, which means like wake yourself up, wake up, get up. We do that Friday night when we say like wake up and get ready for Shabbos. You know, like the prophets, like they after the exile and after the bad times, sometimes a person needs to be motivated to get themselves, put themselves back together. And so it begins with the following. Uri, uri, wake up, wake up. Now, anytime something is twice, it means like in a strong way. You know, if you say it twice. There's the idea when you get dressed, a person has a choice what kind of clothes they want to wear. Do they want to wear nice-looking clothes, happy clothes, or do they want to put on work clothes? We have the ability to dress ourselves, to prepare ourselves for whatever the task. So here it says you should put on your garments of beauty. It's time to clothe yourself in garments of strength, garments of beauty. Sion, Zion, Livshi Bigdei Tefartek. Now, I guess if it's a happy occasion, you put on your nice clothes. You know, you put on your if you're looking forward to something, okay, I'll put on my new, you have something new, something that you save for the occasion. There was an ancient custom in Europe, of all places, that people would buy a garment that they would wear when the Mashiach comes. That they had a special, like, suit, and when they heard that when the Mashiach would come, then they'd put it on because, you know, to go greet the, you know, for 2,000 years we haven't had a leader from the house of David, a righteous leader, and who's going to lead us out of the exile and who's going to fight the fight and is going to fix all of the problems. And we're going to see him, and we're going to be wearing our old clothes. So people would get like a very nice garment and put it in their closet. I think the Chofetz Chaim had one, and it was known that was they saw the Mashiach as a very real term. That they were just waiting for the knock. You know, it'll just one day we'll get a call. Mashiach's here. That's it. Like it'll just happen. But I need something to wear. What am I going to wear to greet the Mashiach? So they would have. So it almost describes, well, Yerushalayim, it's time to wake up and put on your nice clothes, put on the dress up fancy. We have a strong belief in the city of Yerushalayim. It's a separate blessing in the Shemona Esrei, just about Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim Yircha, Barachim, you know, Yerushalayim the city. It's a theme by itself. Why are we so in love with the city? Why is the geography of Yerushalayim different than other places? What's special about it? It really, in order to do justice to it, we'd have to have our own class just on what's Yerushalayim, you know, what does it represent. The word Yerushalayim means a city of peace, Yerushalayim, of peace, and it was a city which was like a united city. And in life, we're not always at peace. We have lots of people that we don't get along with, or don't get along with us, or want to harm us. And so Yerushalayim was a city where that peace came out from. It's also the city where the word shalom doesn't just mean peace, it means completion. We're all missing things in life. There's we're always looking for something that we're missing, that we lack, or that we need. Yerushalayim was the place where a person could find what he was missing. It was if a person needs something and they want to have a talk with the boss or the one who's able to give it to them, you could go to Yerushalayim and have a direct meeting, a harta. The sanctuary was called the Ohol Moed, the tent of the meeting, because you could go there to meet God. Now, you can meet God anywhere, but there you felt it. You could sense it. We all know, you know, when you go to the coastal, sometimes it doesn't happen the first time, but you go there, sometimes you could feel like You've got, sometimes, you know, you talk on a cell phone, you can't hear so well, and then you feel like you're far. And then other times you talk and you feel like the person is right next to you. Well, when you go to the Kosel, it's like Hashem is right next to you. You've got a really clear transmission. You can hear him, he can hear you. That's really the goal. Like I said, it doesn't happen every time you go to the Kosel. I wish I could say every time I go to the Kosel it was like, you know, the heavens opened up. But it does happen, and it does. That's why it's an attraction for us. Some people think you go there, you get your picture taken, you know, and you know, I'm at the Kosel, and you can brag, and I was there, and which is fine. But the real goal is to have a really good prayer and feel good about it. And it's hard to explain to someone who's never done it before, like what's considered a good prayer. Like there's a certain feeling when you pray and you let it all out, and we all have certain dreams, certain aspirations, certain feelings that are inside us, and we haven't had a chance to air them out or to feel them. And sometimes through prayer, it just after a person has a really good prayer, it's like he feels good. Like the words went through. Sometimes we have worries or concerns. And Yerushalayim is that place where you could go to and have that really good prayer, like, you know, the really face-to-face, the really... you can have it in Beth Jacob, too, or you can have it in your own house, but it's a little easier there. It's a little easier to get the direct, you know, meeting. It's a front-row seat. And so that's the that's Yerushalayim. That's the city where we go for completion in many, many different ways. There are many different things that are... The most basic, though, is that we believe that there's a Hashem stands for everything good in the world. Meaning that we were created to serve Hashem, and therefore things in life work when we do what we were created for. When we reach out to Hashem and Yerushalayim Kimitzia and Teitzei Sorah Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim, like we live just, life is difficult. And Yerushalayim was the place where people would go and they would get recharged, they would get peace, they would get completion, they would get inner harmony. Today we don't have an address to go to that we can go to fix things. When things are just not right or we're out of sorts, or sometimes a person rebels and they want to make up. Where do you go? You go to Yerushalayim. Sometimes a person just wants to connect, sometimes a person, that was an address, and it's really something to be able to know that you have an address to go to fix. You know, there are certain places where if there's something, the website's not working, there's nowhere to, you can't communicate with them. Who do you call? Who do you talk to? You talk to someone in India to fix your website, or do, and when you have problems, you go to Yerushalayim. That's the city where it all comes, that's the source. That's where the world was created from, that's where our forefathers started out from. So, Yerushalayim, that's the, it's a theme throughout our prayers, and for thousands of years we've been praying towards Yerushalayim, and we've been waiting to have that opportunity to come back. And so his prophecy, he sees Yerushalayim waking up and putting on the nice clothing. You know, some people, they went to Yerushalayim, they didn't like what they saw. That's because they didn't see it in its nice clothing. Sion is going to wear its big day tefartik, its clothing of glory. Now, what's the problem, Yerushalayim? We all know what the problem is. If you go to the Kosel, the problem is there's this big gold dome up there, the mosque, you know, and you hear these Arabs crying on a transmitter. That's, you know, the Arab prayer calls. Now, they can't say they've been doing that for thousands of years because they didn't have the technology until the Jews came and brought them the loudspeakers. You know, that's the. But they, you go there and you're trying to pray and you hear these people wailing on these loudspeakers in the holy city. And the more holy the place, the closer you are. All you do is you look up and there are the Arabs there in their prayer place. Now here there's an amazing prophecy right here at the end of verse 1 in chapter 52. Hashem says, don't worry, ki lo Yosef Yavobach, you know, the city of Yerushalayim has a problem. They have two kinds of people that are found there. The oral, the uncircumcised one, and the impure one. So who do you think those people are? The oral and the uncircumcised one. Here, let me find it here in the Radak. He says interesting. So he says, Oral, Zu Malchus Edom, those are the Christians. Hema Reilim, they're uncircumcised. They didn't circumcise. Now, you can't say that about the Arabs. They circumcise themselves. They do it at their bar mitzvah or whatever. But the Tamei, Zem Malchus Yishmol, those are the government of Yishmol, that they act as if they're pure, they pray, they're circumcised. He says that they bathed a lot. I didn't know that the Arabs did that. But he says, but their actions and their deeds are tummy because they do wicked things. And he said, from the day of the destruction, Yerushalayim has been filled. It's a split city. It's a divided city because it's full of Christians and Arabs. All you got to do is go to the old city, and it's not a Jewish city. It's a Jewish quarter. And there's a, what are they, there's an Armenian quarter and a Muslim quarter. And so he says, the Radak, this was written 500 years ago, but he says in the prophecy when Hashem says, Ki lo Yosef yavo bach od oro v'tame, he says, don't worry, we'll be able to get rid of those. We won't have an Armenian quarter and a Christian quarter and an impure quarter. You know, we won't have any more of the, we won't have to deal with the sharing our city with forces of impurity, whether they're evil or whatever it is that they represent. Verse 2, Hisnari me'ofakumi. That's a Rabbi Hiller question. He's one of the grammar experts here. He's a Torah reader. I missed that class in day school about the. It's more than that. There's advanced Hebrew grammar. As very few people are. They exist. There are people that are big grammar. You know, they would know. Verse 2. He's nari me'afar kumi. Shake off the dirt. You know, when you've been. You need to shake off the dirt. You know, when you're sitting down in the dirt and you need to get up, sometimes you got to shake it off. There's things that we have dirt on us that we need to shake off. Spiritual things too that we, you know, shake it off. It'll fall off. Yerushalayim also. He's nari. Wake up and shake off the dirt. Shvi Yerushalayim. People that are going to come to live in Yerushalayim. He's pakti l'moseira. Now, until now, we've been enslaved and we've been held captive and we haven't been able to come back. So break loose from the chains, so to speak. Free off the... Apparently, they used to put a collar around the neck of a slave, just like a dog. And, you know, and you couldn't go anywhere because they had you by the neck. So Hashem, it's time to release the chain around one's neck. Shivya Basion, the daughter of Zion, that can come back. We've wanted to come back to Eretz Yisrael, but we haven't been able to. We'll be able to. We've been in chains. We've been held prisoner no longer. Verse 3. Ki kol amar Hashem. Very interesting concept over here. Hashem says, we were sold as slaves. Basically, we worked for other countries. We built up Spain. We built up Germany. We built up Europe. And when can we build up Israel? When can we work for our country? When can we... But we were sold as slaves. We were sent into exile, and we were sold, so to speak, to work for these countries. But they didn't pay for it. They didn't... when a person is sold as a slave, or when they sell themselves, they've got to work until they pay back whoever they... whatever they were sold for, or whatever the terms of their employment. But there's nothing holding us, there's nothing forcing us to stay where we're at. If we're working for the Tsar, if we're working for Spain, if we're working for, we don't owe them anything. We were sold for nothing. We're not obligated to be the subjects of these countries and work for these places. But lo bekesenigo, we'll be redeemed. It won't have to be with money. We won't have to pay our way out. For a short while, in the former Soviet Union, they wouldn't let the, people leave unless they paid. If they paid enough money, they would let them go. They were allowing the. They were saying, "Well, you have to pay for your education because they educated in the workers' paradise," and so they refused to let different people go. And most of the Russians that left without a penny. You know, they left with the shirts on their backs, like the, which is a very hard way to go when you think about it. Like a person works their whole life and has whatever they have, and they're told, "Okay, we'll let you go, but you have to leave it all here." You know, leave everything here. They couldn't take their bank account, and they said, "Well, you." Not only that, some of them had to pay for their education and pay for. But here we'll go free, and we won't owe anyone anything. I think that's what it means over here. But it's just an interesting read. Hashem said we were sold for nothing, and we'll be bought back for free. Free redemption. It won't cost anything. Basically, when the time comes, we're ready to go. Verse 4, Ki Kol Amar Hashem Elokim. This is what Hashem said, Mitzrayim Yored Ami Bishona. There's a parallel to the first redemption to the second redemption, meaning that we spent a long time in Egypt, we were afflicted there, we had troubles there, and we got out. And now we're serving in other countries, and we're working, and we've been enslaved by other countries, and we'll also get out. And just like we were redeemed with great miracles the first time on Passover night, Lashana Haba in the future will be redeemed again with great miracles. And just like in Egypt, the Egyptians, they abused us. They threw us in the cement, and they made decrees to kill the Jewish children. And they overdid it, even though it was decreed that we go down to Egypt, but no one said that we had to have the taskmasters and be enslaved. And just like Egypt overdid it, Va'asher, Assyria, the Babylonians, Va'efesashka, they oppressed us for no reason. They had no reason for the anti-Semitism. There was no reason for the things that they did to us. Verse 5, Ata, now, Mali Po. And now, what are you waiting for? What are you doing? In other words, we're Jews are all over the world. What are you doing? What are you doing where you're at? Mali Po, what are you doing here? Nu Hashem. Ki Lucha Kami Hina, my people are spread out and they're in the wrong place. It's time to come back. My people were taken for no reason. Mishalo Yelilu. And they live in a place where people brag. They live in places where people are arrogant and they brag. And they brag about themselves. I'm the greatest. This is the greatest. Mishalo, these are not our values. We're not about bragging. You know, all you do is turn on the TV and you hear about all the people bragging about, you know, this one's the greatest and that one's the greatest. And just arrogance. And that's not our value. That's not. We don't believe in that. That's not how we're all humbled. We're grateful to the Almighty to be alive. And if we have talents, we know where it came from. But we live in this world where it's people the mightiest, the fastest, the funniest, whatever it is. But Hashem's my people have been taken to a place where Mishalo Yelilu, people are all bragging, people are all thinking they're the greatest, Nu Hashem. And not only that, V'tamid Kol Hayom, and constantly in the exile, Shmi Menoyetz, my name is blasphemed. People, they say we came from monkeys, they say Hashem isn't just, they have, this is the exile. So it's not. He's kind of wants to answer a question for us, really. Like, you know, if we're kind of happy where we're living, why do we need to go back to Israel? But he's saying we live in a place where Hashem's name is blasphemed. We live in a place where the value system is foreign. So therefore, verse 6, Lechein Yada Amishmi, my people, they know my name. Lechein Bayomahu, it'll be on that day. Ki Anihu Amidaber, here I am. I'm speaking. We're all waiting for the announcement. In other words, we have a challenge. You know, the Jews that lived in Poland and the Jews that lived in Russia, they were willing to leave at a second. No one would take them. They had nowhere to go. We're fortunate enough that we're a little more comfortable, that we kind of, with us, we have to make the argument, why leave? You know, but we have to think that there is, in our life, even though some of us may not be starving, and Baruch Hashem, we have clothes, which, you know, my grandfather grew up in Poland. He didn't have shoes. You know, that was part of the life then. They couldn't eat as much as they wanted. You know, thank God we don't have that. But we suffer. We do suffer in our country where we live in different ways. We suffer from lack of values. We suffer from our families. We suffer from just there are many different challenges that are living in the exile that are not meant to be the way they are. So, this time of year, all you do is turn on the TVs or whatever, the radio, all you hear is about other, you know, about jingle bells, you know, about, you know, you've got to buy this to be happy, you've got to buy that, you've got to buy the latest TV, the latest computer, and you don't have that, and then, you know, you're miserable because you don't have, you got to lose weight, you got to do this, there's nothing there about, like, being a better person, doing mitzvahs, loving people, getting, it's all a hype of a different value system, and so, we really should want to hope for a better society, a better time. We live in a time where there's a lot of tragedy in the world. There's you don't have to go into it. There's a I if you ever listen to the Beth Jacob list of people that are sick, it's incredible. There's so many people that are sick. You know, it's very sad. They have like two pages, you know, up and down of people. And people, everybody has someone who could use a Refuah Shleimah, could feel better. And then there's so much. There's people that are divorced and have difficult marriages and difficult challenges, and there are people that have to take care of elderly people that are very challenged, very difficult. There's healthcare issues. There's no lack of issue. We don't like to talk about it. We only talk about it, which is fine. Nobody likes to complain. But we need Mashiach. We need a salvation. That there are many, in the world we live in, it's all about good food and a good computer and a good TV, and that solves all the problems. But it only until you get it. Then you buy the latest computer, and then it's out of date. And you buy the latest car, and you need a new one. And you go out to eat, and then you have indigestion. It's just it doesn't solve it. It's fun, you know. It's nice having the latest gadget, but that's in our society. That's all we need. Is we got to get the newest iPhone, the newest this, and. But there are more important things to life, and life has its challenges, and we have to want to hope that we see too much sadness in life not to hope for a better time. And some of that is our prayer for Mashiach. Now, even though right now it could be that we're very happy where we are, we're happy with our surroundings, and that's fine. And if we would move to Israel, maybe it would be difficult for us, and we wouldn't be able to serve Hashem in the way that we can. But there will come a time when Mashiach comes, when we'll want to go to Israel. We'll want to be part together with our people. But there's a much bigger picture here, which is we should want to live in a society where there's no more suffering, where evil doesn't go on, where the bragging and the arrogance and the just the types of things you hear. People are so animalistic. It's just, I don't know. I went to Black Friday. I went to because I wanted to get a sale, right? So I walked into a Best Buy, and it was just incredible. Like I just, you know,
it's another world.
Absolutely. And you know, I suppose there were some people who were, didn't have enough money and thought, oh, now good, I'll get a good laptop or whatever cheaper. But it was just very materialistic, very much like a jungle kind of. I just felt like I was in a jungle. It was like everybody was pouncing and anxious to get the few things that were. I didn't wait in line or anything. I just happened to stop by when the kids needed a laptop, you know. But it's sometimes when we see those things, we have to think that we're waiting. We're waiting for the announcement. So now here he describes the announcement. They have some songs in Hebrew that use this verse, but. He says the following, in those days when you wanted news, so today we wait for the mail or you open your inbox and check your email. In those days what you did is you looked on the top of the mountains or towards the desert to see if there was somebody coming. They would send out a person would be sent with information, an announcer. It's something like, was it like Paul Revere, the British, somebody's coming, like you'd see a single person would be coming on his donkey or his horse to spread the word or to send a message. And he would go to a mountaintop because you could see from the farthest and he'd wave the flag or whatever. And Yerushalayim is surrounded by mountains. So Ma'anavu, it is so beautiful. I think some people have that name Nava. That means like a beautiful thing. It's such a beautiful thing. Ma'anavu, how beautiful it is. Alahorim, on the mountaintops. Ragle Mevasir, finally we see the footsteps. We hear hear them coming, the feet of the announcer. And what's the announcer going to say? So the redemption is going to come in a few stages. So the first stage is that if we're in the middle of a war or being attacked by the anti-Semites or someone's trying to bomb us or send missiles to us, Mashmiah Shalom. The first thing that will happen when Mashiach comes is there'll be peace. That's the Mashmiah Shalom. And then, on top of that, there'll be Mevaser Tov. There'll be good news. But we always wish people. We say Besuras Tovos. You should have good announcements, good news. We have something. A Besura means that there are something that hasn't happened that'll be announced. That'll be. We wish people that they should hear good things. Mevaser Tov, and then Mashmi Yeshua. Then people should be redeemed. Redeemed means that there's a very big problem and you need salvation from it. Like if a person is enslaved, or if they have somebody who's harming them, or a person is not well, they need a redemption. They need a Yeshua. So the Mashiach will come in those stages. First will come that the first thing will be is nobody will abuse us. He'll bring shalom. And then he'll bring good news. And then it'll be redemption. Omer Letzion Malach Elokayach, and we will see very clearly that Hashem is setting up his kingdom. Now, who's going to see the announcers coming? So in those days, the cities would have watchmen. They'd be looking out also to see if there were armies attacking, and they'd be standing on the towers. So the Kol Sofayach, the voice of the watchmen, Nasu Kol, they're going to announce that they hear, they're going to announce the good news. Yiraninu, they'll sing a happy song, Ki Ayin Ba'ayin Yiru. Sometimes you're not sure what you see, it won't be so clear. When this happens, it'll be pretty clear. We'll see eye to eye. That's this expression, Ki Ayin Ba'ayin Yiru. We'll see eye to eye. B'shuv Hashem Siyan, Hashem is returning to Zion. Hashem's strong presence will be there. Verse 9, and when that happens, Pitzku V'raninu, people will like burst out in song. We've been waiting for this moment a long time. Chor B'Yushalayim, the desolate place Yushalayim, the destroyed cities will burst out in song. Why? Ki Nichem Hashem Amo, because Hashem will comfort His people. Hashem has come to fix the problems. He will console us. It means more than console, though. The Nekama is more like the comfort. He will comfort us. Go Al Yushalayim, the Redeemer of Israel. Verse 10. Chashaf Hashem Ezaro. In order for this to happen, there are many people that don't want the Jewish people to have their own country, to be safe and secure. They don't want to let us go and do our own thing. It'll take the power of Hashem, just like in Egypt, where in order to free us from slavery, Hashem had to show us a strong arm. He took us out with a strong arm in the plagues. So also Hashem is going to have to show His strong arm. Chashaf Hashem is right, but the arm means action. Hashem is going to show action in the world. And who is He going to show it to? Le'ne'ag kol ha'goyim, all the nations. You know, all the UN, all the people that say, you know, you're not allowed to be in the West Bank, you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that, and the people that are shooting missiles at us, they are going to see the arm of Hashem. And not only will it be in one place, Ruh kol ha'se'oret, it'll be seen from the four corners of the world, all the different areas, this Yeshua Shalokeinu, they will see the salvation of our God. They will see that Hashem is caring about us, and He's coming to redeem us, coming to save us. Suru suru so misham tame. They'll be in our midst, which is also interesting that, because again, we're in Israel today, we have impure things there. And so he describes that when that time comes, we'll say, all right, time to get rid of some of the impure things, whether they be the Arabs or the Armenians or the Christians or whoever is there who is impure. Suru, suru, get out. Mitame altigu, don't touch me. Mitocha Yivru, minose kli Hashem. It's time to dedicate Yerushalayim or Israel to the place that carries Hashem's vessels, that is in the service of Hashem, not in the service of other things. Verse 12. Now, when we left Egypt, it was like real quick. It was like Paro one day came out in the middle of the night. They had the plague of the firstborn, and he said, he gave us our freedom, and we left the next morning. That's pretty quick, you know, to leave the next morning, just like that. You know, just really imagine just in the middle of the night to hear an alarm. In the morning, you'll pick up. They didn't even have a chance to bake their bread. They had to eat matzah. How do you like that? So Egyptian exile was fast, was kipasim. He said in the future, when Mashiach comes, it won't happen quite so fast. It won't be like, you know, that we'll hear the announcement, but it won't be b'kipasim. Ubenusa will take it. Kiholah Hashem. First, Hashem will go in front of us. Umasim, and Hashem will gather together the God of Israel. And so it's again, some people see what's been happening now in the state of Israel, where Jews have come back and they're beginning to prepare the land, and it's the beginning of this process. they felt so strongly that when Israel was declared, they even made a prayer where they said that the redemption has started. It's the prayer in the Siddur, and Rabbi Feldman was very wise, and Rabbi Feldman's father and Rabbi Feldman, they initially didn't want the shul to say this prayer because it was controversial at the time, because it's a shame they wrote it that way. The people in 48 and 67, they thought that we just got Israel, we just got the Six-Day War, we conquered. You know what? Mashiach will be here in a few days. This is the beginning. It's not going to happen super quick, but it's starting. And therefore, they wrote a prayer that the redemption started. But that was many, many years ago. Right? And we've given back pieces of Israel, and it's 40 years is a long time for something to start. And it's pretty much recognized today that it didn't start. A start isn't, you know, could it have been the start? Maybe. But it didn't. It was a false start. Was it setting the path to begin? But when Mashiach comes, it's not going to take quite so long. You know, it's not the so the problem was that when they, it's not, we all love Israel. Everybody loves Israel. I mean, you're Jewish, you love Israel. Of course you do, and you want what's best for the Jewish people. The question was that the people who wrote that prayer, they selected the wrong words. So today, most people, even the ones who wrote the prayer, the descendants of them recognize it wasn't written well, but it's hard to change it. It's hard to change that prayer. So I think what Beth Jacob did is they pasted like a different prayer in the back of the book, and that's some of the politics. What I'm just trying to point out to you here is that there is talk of the beginning of redemption, and you could understand the way the Six-Day War went. You don't have Six-Day Wars. You know, look how long, we're the greatest country in the world, and we haven't won the war in Afghanistan. And look how long Iraq took us. You know, wars take a long time, no matter how much power you have. In 6 days, we, like, you know, ran over the world. It was unbelievable. So, of course, we felt like, you know what? Redemption's here. I hear the footsteps. God is starting. Unfortunately, it wasn't. It wasn't the beginning of redemption. We didn't get redeemed yet. It could have been, maybe, you know, there are many chances throughout history to have redemption. Sometimes we're stuck with the results of somebody that ran to write a prayer, or who thought they were a prophet that they could say such a thing? You know, like, who was the arrogant one who took it upon themselves to write such a prayer or think such a thing? I don't know. But I think people were drunk a little bit. They thought, you know, well, you know, we conquered the Six-Day War, we got Israel, we got Jerusalem, that's it, you know, and Mashiach will be here tomorrow, we got nothing to worry about. And that's one of the challenges of Israel today, is that they were living thinking, you know, if Mashiach is coming, then you don't have to worry about anything. Everything will be solved. You know, how are you going to live surrounded by Arabs? You know, how are you going to, what are you going to do, you know, with this? What are you going to do with that? Don't worry about it. If Mashiach will be here tomorrow, we don't have to worry about those types of things. But Mashiach didn't come tomorrow, so we do have to worry. But I hope it'll be redemption. Some people have changed it that instead of it was the beginning of redemption, that it should become the beginning. In other words, the people tried to lobby to get a change in the prayer, but it's a stubborn kind of thing. Once it's printed and it's out there, nobody knows how to change it or change the formula and if you do, you're not Zionistic enough. And so, but there is an idea that redemption will come slowly and there'll be the beginning. And Hashem will clear the way. Okay, verse 13. Hinei Yaskil Abdi. He said that Hashem says that the Jews will prosper, which has also come true very much so, that Jews have prospered way, you know, the blacks, I would say, are jealous, but even other nations have not figured out why Jews prosper the way they do, more so than other peoples and other nations. And Hashem says, my servants will prosper. Yaskil Abdi, they'll be successful. Vanisa v'gava ma'od, and they'll be very high, and they'll have very important positions. We have more Nobel Prize winners, and more doctors, and more Ivy League college. They're just filled with Jews, you know, and important places in history. Like somebody was saying, all the major cities in the U.S. are run today by Jews. New York is by Jews. Is L.A. I forgot what other cities somebody was saying. The They named like the five major cities, and at one point all of them were run by Jews. It's just saying Hashem says my servant will be successful and he'll become very important. Verse 14. Now there'll be a change because during the Middle Ages people looked down upon Jews, and there are still people that look down upon Jews, and people will wonder how could these despicable people, these Jews, that they it was a, to call someone a Jew is a bad name. You know, certain people today still use it as a pejorative, whatever, they call somebody a Jew. So Kasher Shamala Rabim, these people that say on you, they wonder, Kein Mishkas Me'ish Merehu. They say that we don't look like a regular person, Mitorah Mineotum, that Jews aren't the same, but things will change. Kein Yazeh Goyim Rabim Olav. The many nations that said bad things about us will be forced to shut their mouths. Yiklus Melachim Piham. And this includes the kings and the leaders that said terrible things about the Jewish people. Ki kasher lo yisuper lehem. They said things that they were not told about and things that they didn't know. Vasher lo shamo hisbonenu. And it'll be a very interesting moment for all the anti-Semites when the Mashiach comes. You know, for all of the false religions and for all of the terrorists, when Hashem reveals himself to the world and they'll realize they were on the wrong side of history, really, or they saw things in the wrong way. And he describes that here in that moment. Okay, what's up here?
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.